Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone to Block Talk Radio and the Voice of Change. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff and just delighted to be with you today for this program, Raising Peaceful Children, the Way to Find Your Center of Calm. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, finding your center of peace and peace and calm. I am a mother of three grown children and have two teaching credentials, and I've worked with children and families for over 30 years. In addition, I'm an EFT practitioner, and I found the art of radio in 2008 and have been producing programs ever since and just find it to be such a joy. And thank you for listening. Thank you for writing and letting me know how you enjoy these programs. And I'm so glad it's a support to you. So now today, finding your center of peace and calm. When I did a blog this summer, I focused it on raising peaceful children. And I found a quote by Leo Buscaglia that just fit this, I think, so beautifully. It says, "You can only give away what you have. If you have love, you can get it. Give it. If you don't have it, you don't have it to give." And I have found great wisdom in these words, and I feel they are so applicable to raising peaceful children. And in the blog, I edited the content of that just a little bit, and I said, you can only give away what you have. If you have peace, you can give it. If you don't have it, you don't have it to give. So the question is, how does one find that inner peace? For me, a very important aspect of inner peace is having personal quiet time, and that does bring a sense of peace to me. And even when my children were small, I found this peace, this calm, this quiet by sitting quietly sometimes an hour after the children went to bed. I just needed to review the day and to be in that place of peace and calm. When the children were awake, the house was naturally busy and active and filled with all their toys and projects. But after they went to bed, I finished the cleanup, and the kids had helped with that prior to the bedtime. And then I would just find a place to sit quietly. For me, it was usually in the living room, pondering the day that had just ended as well as what was going to be taking place the next day. And so sitting for me quiet brought a sense of peace and calm to my body. Presently, one of the things that I have found a great deal of peace in doing is as I'm going to bed, I will put on a musical, instrumental music. The one that I happen to have, I'll just pull it out here. It's Seven Wheels of Light by Joel Andrews. And Joel is a harpist and creates just beautiful, beautiful music. And so I have been listening to that, and it puts me into a very, very deep, deep place. And that's how I find my peace and calm. So I'm going to share with you several other ways that you can find your peace and calm too. You know, everybody is an individual and has different things work for them in different ways. So these are various ways I've practiced my center of peace at various times in my life. And if you're interested in finding a way that works for you, I invite you to explore some of these ways and see what works well for you. In addition, perhaps one or more of these ways may inspire a new and totally different way for you to find your center. Also, after I share these ideas, I'm also going to share with you two different articles by Christopher Foster. He is known as the Happy Seeker, and he has some wonderful ideas too. So I'll put those ideas out there after I share with you the process that I've gone through. One is journaling. If you take time to write one or two or three pages each morning or evening about whatever's in your mind, this clears and cleans out the mind, allowing a peacefulness to emerge. This is one of the techniques that I've learned and use it with clients. Also, as I've mentioned on the show before, many, many years ago, a minister friend of mine suggested that you end the day by writing down three gratitudes, and that's also a very positive way of ending the day. And then Rhonda Britton, the author of Fearless Living, suggests you also include three acknowledgments for what you did during the day. And I think it's really important for parents to acknowledge what you did during the day, because sometimes it really can be a busy day. You can have, you know, many situations come up that are challenging. And yet, if you look back and reflect on what is good in that day, one of the pieces I've talked about in raising peaceful children is finding that which is good or right and bringing that out. So that's another thing that you can do. So journaling in some way is a technique that can be useful. And if you do that, I really invite you to, you know, take the ideas that are shared here and then make one that is right for you. You don't want to make this something else on your to-do list. You really want it to really to benefit you and to help you find your center of peace and calm. Another one is a meditation. You can pick up a book on meditation and create such a practice. One book that I've done several radio shows on is Kurt Abraham's The Quiet Mind, Meditative Technique Exercises. And his book can be found on Amazon.com. He has many ideas in there about quieting the mind. But there are many, you know, tape sets out, books on meditation, or you could take a class, either online or in person, where you truly make it a practice. And in meditation, what you're seeking to do is drop below the chatter, back to your core, so that the chatter and the outer world are not disturbing your inner place of peace. A third idea is one that I came up with years ago, and I've used it so many times. It's releasing the thoughts into a special box. It's like a type of meditation. This special meditation can be used to release, you know, various projects or situations that are occupying your mind. And the process is that you sit quietly and follow your breath for a few minutes. Next, you see that you are in a room and you have a lovely closet before you. You see that there's a shelf all around the top of the closet with nothing on it. And know that there are many lovely boxes there on the shelf in the closet for you to use. Each one is ready to hold a concern you might have at this particular time. And as a particular concern or problem comes to you, find the right box to store that concern or problem in. Open the box and put the problem or situation into the box. Tie it up with a lovely ribbon through your mind's eye. Know that the problem or challenge is there And when you have a moment to handle it, you can take it down, open it, and ponder the solution. This gives you the freedom of mind when you need it and allows you to know that you will be able to find the situation and take it down to really analyze it. This type of idea was also part of a process that Clifford Amos used when we went on a nature walk. He had us take a stone at the beginning of our nature walk and we made an intention for our walk, but also when we put the rock down on the ground, we left all of our problems right there too, so that when you go out into nature, you would have a freshness and an openness to experience what's there. And again, finding the right situation for you is very important. The fourth idea is a physical practice. Take up a physical practice of some kind. Various possibilities are walking, yoga, Feldenkrais, or dancing. I've used all of these at different times in my life. So you find something that is really right for you. Oh, five, what, waking up early. This is something I have done for years. Wake up early, about 15 to 30 minutes every morning. If you can have some private time yourself, I found it's, you know, so rewarding. And I often do this in bed. Especially when my children were little, I would just be very still and wake up early and just know. That time was special to me. I recall reading an article in Essence Magazine, I believe it is called. And it's not the current editor, but some years ago, another lady, and I can't remember her name. I wish I had kept that. Anyway, she said, waking up a half hour earlier to start your day and talking about mothers and families, it's just so important because then you're ahead of the children, you're ahead of the game. Whereas if you are waking up and the children are already up and things are going, you know, where's breakfast, where's my clothes, blah, 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 it just makes such a difference if you can get up early, you know, make sure there's clothes there for the children to wear, be sure the lunches are packed. It really can set the tone for your entire day. So taking that early morning time is very important. And the sixth way is nature, spending time in nature each day. You can do this alone or when the children are in school, or take a walk with your little one. And I have just found it very, very powerful. I know when my children were little and I was living near a mountain, I would often walk up this one mountain and just sit at the top of it for a little while and ponder life. And you could see the whole city, and it was just a beautiful place to really be at peace with myself. You know, as I share these ideas, I see that, you know, through the 30 years of raising my children, different practices came to me at different times. Sometimes it was a meditation practice, which often continued throughout my life. But sometimes the main focus was the walk. Other times the focus was the journaling. So you can have these techniques all at your fingertips and use them at the right time. Again, Leo Buscaglia's statement, you can only give away what you have. If you have love, you can give it. If you don't have it, you don't have it to give. So I invite you to find your center of peace, and then you will be able to help your children find their center of peace. I want to share with you now Christopher Foster's work. He has two different articles from his blog. I have them here, which I want to share with you. And he can be found at thehappyseeker.com. And he has a wonderful story. He has really changed throughout his life. He was in a very, very happy, happy marriage, and all of a sudden his wife passed away very suddenly. And it just took his whole world away. And it took him a while, but he found his center and came back. And I think he's in his 80s now. I had him on the show some years ago. And I still continue to really enjoy many of his blogs. So this is six steps to contentment, your natural wealth. And step one, according to Christopher Foster, is... turning the page here. Be willing to forgive. He says, how can we be content if we carry frozen in our heart, like an iceberg in the Arctic, the raw pain of past injustice? How can we be content if we think someone or something is doing us wrong? It is impossible. The simple answer, all you really have to do is forgive yourself and you will automatically forgive everyone and everything else. And he says, how can we forgive ourselves? How can we forgive the shame and the fear that have inevitably accrued in our lives? I find the key is to be still and realize in the presence of my own eternal being what is forever perfect, timeless and free. It is without shame. What does it have to be for ashamed for? There is nothing to forgive, nothing. So again, when you get below the layers of the outside of our core that, you know, have the problems in it, have the old shame, all the things that have happened to us, and you really get to that core, I think this is what he's talking about. There is that perfect essence of who you are. And we just have to realize that we are living life and things happen. And we have to forgive ourselves. And then in that moment, everything else is forgiven. And number two, he says, don't be hostage to your goals. We need goals in life, of course. We need dreams, and we need to follow our dreams. But I find there is a curious paradox here, a kind of creative tension, because we cannot be hostage to our dreams. For example, this blog is important to me. It's my baby, in quotes. I enjoy it, and I want it to succeed and grow and be a blessing to people, hopefully. But something else is more important, being true to my own being, forever untroubled and unchanged by anything that happens in my life or anywhere else. And there is a interesting paradox. We can't go after something that it's to have it just be a total focus. We have to want it, but allow not to be attached to it. I guess that's what I want to say. We don't want to be attached to it. We don't have to have it, because then there is something that takes place that the energy isn't a comfortable flow, and it blocks it sometimes. So we want to have the goals, but as he said so perfectly, don't be hostage to your goals. And a third one, don't let thoughts rule. Thinking is essential, of course, but I know I sometimes think too much. Don't be afraid to give your mind a rest from time to time. Idle or destructive thoughts cloud the blessing of contentment that is always with us, wanting to be allowed access to our heart. As Socrates, that great and wise man, once said, contentment is natural wealth. Luxury is artificial poverty. And again, we have a mind that we have to use for handling situations, figuring out things. But there's another way of being in the world where we just are. And so we have to give that mind a rest at times. And number four, he says, give your gift. What is the unique gift you bring to the world? Think about this. See if you can describe your gift in a single sentence. We are not just talking about a particular role or activity, although that's included, but the unique spirit or essence that is yours. Knowing what your gift is and giving it freely, consistently, and with love is a sure path to contentment. And five is listen to your own inner wisdom. Contentment and wisdom go arm in arm. Even as I write these words, a mental image comes to my mind of a pair of young lovers strolling blissfully together in a sunlit garden. If you would know more contentment in your life, be still and listen to that quiet voice of wisdom speaking to you from the depths of your being. I think it is a very important practice is to find those moments of quiet. As I mentioned earlier in the program, I found mine in the evening after the children had gone to bed, where I could really just be quiet and be with myself. And you have to know yourself. You know what you bring into the world, and you want to listen to what comes to you. And it's amazing, sometimes if I'm sitting there just being still, an idea will come about something that I have to remember to do. It's amazing the way that the universe just brings those things to the forefront. So having those moments of stillness to listen to your own inner wisdom. And the last one he shares here is love your own being. Love your own limitless, unconquerable self with all the passion that is in you, for it is the very source of a contentment and happiness that is your birthright and your natural wealth. So again, if you're interested in Christopher Foster's work, he is at www.thehappyseeker.com, Christopher Foster. And the other one that I found so beautiful is happiness, inner peace. And he has mentioned here several gifts that he believes that the universe gives us. And I think they're just so beautiful. The gift of patience. Patience not only makes it possible for us to hear others and the challenges in life, patience also gives us the opportunity, if we will, to persevere, to follow our dreams and discover who we truly are, the gift of patience. The gift of humility. Where would we be without humility? Humility opens the door to wisdom and intuition. It makes it possible for us to change and to grow. If we realize we have believed a lie, for example, or our attitude to someone was wrong, we can change. Humility makes it possible to make meaning, to find meaning and wholeness. The gift of courage. Courage is the vital creative power that makes it possible for us not only to meet the challenges of our lives, but to follow our dream and embrace the unique gift we came into the world to give, the gift of courage. And I think in parenting, too, the gift of courage comes through many times in having the courage to really listen to your children and to see what they're doing, to really look at what is going on with them with open eyes and open ears. And to stand up to them if you disagree with what they're doing. I have seen families where 10 and 11-year-olds rule the house. And if they want to listen to a certain video or songs, their parents almost are afraid to stand up to them. And so it really does take courage to parent. It takes courage to really look at our situation and to say, you know, I really want to make a difference here. I think the very first thing we have to do in raising peaceful children, as I've mentioned in my shows in the past, is that you have to truly want that very, very much. It has to be a strong desire of yours. And if it's not, you're just going to let the things go on that happen naturally that you put a deaf ear to. So we do have to have courage to really look at our situation and truly stand for raising peaceful children. The gift of compassion, Christopher Foster continues, the gift of compassion. Compassion is one of the most precious gifts the universe has to give. Compassion not only sees the pain of the world, but paradoxically sees the incredible beauty and oneness back of creation. And number five, the gift of happiness. The world has done a good job of convincing us that happiness is outside of us and requires struggle and search to be known. But happiness was really given to us at birth. All we have to do is to be still and remember our true inheritance. And six, the gift of freedom. Nothing needs to change in your life or mind for us to be free. You can be free right now regardless of your circumstances, and the truth is you are free right now as you surrender to the timeless presence of your own eternal self. And the last one, seven, the gift of love. You are love. The universe sees you and admires you and loves you because you are part of it. The universe is kinder, wiser, and infinitely more loving than our mind could possibly begin to imagine. The trouble is what our mind doesn't understand. It tends to see as alien or separate from itself. We will never understand the universe, of course, but we can love it and respect it and be thankful for it. And in some moment when we are still, when our heart is open, we can feel its deep, unshakable love for us. And this reminds me of Suzanne Murray. I've done several programs with her. And on one of the last programs she did with me, she said that, you know, she loves nature. And she truly feels that it's supportive her. She takes people on walks in nature and observes the animals that come her way. And she truly feels that they bring her gifts. And I think it's just so beautiful to really have that feeling that you are supported by the universe. And another saying I've heard, and let's see if I can get this exactly right, I will paraphrase, I'm sure, is that whatever you think about the world and the way it's bringing to you goodness or not, that's true. In other words, if you think the glass is half full, it is. If you think it's half empty, it is. So if you are looking out into the universe and knowing that it is going to be good to you, to bring things your way, that's your experience. If you know you're going to have problems and you're not going to have what you need, that's going to happen. So it's very important to, you know, start our day with a positive attitude and have an odd attitude of expectancy of, you know, oh, I wonder what this day is going to be. So those are some ideas from Happiness as Inner Peace and Christopher Robbins' site, The Happy Seeker. So I hope these ideas are just a springboard for you to really decide what it is that you want to experience and how you want to find your center of calm and peace. There are so many different roads, so to speak, up the mountain, and you can find the one that is really right for you. And it can change from time to time, too. It doesn't have to always be the same. But whenever you are truly needing that center of peace, that center of calm, I invite you to just be still and allow the universe to speak to you as to what your next step is. All right, well, that concludes today's program. Next week, I'm going to be doing the program on Wednesday, and I'm going to be sharing with you the 12-step program for teaching peace to children. I'm in the process of revising the one that I wrote in 2011. And so it's basically 12 steps that you can use as a guideline to raising peaceful children and teaching peace to your children. And also these programs that we're doing as well as the blogs are basically based around this idea. So next week it'll be the 12-step program for raising peaceful children or teaching peace to children. So if you want to listen to any of these programs, they are always archived for your listening pleasure. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/voiceofchange and you can access all of the programs. Again, over the summer, I wrote the blogs, Raising Peaceful Children, and you can access those at my website, sharonannwyckoff.com/voiceofchange. And if you're experiencing any challenges in your life or having anything that you would like to have support with, feel free to contact me through my website or at my email. I'd be happy to work with you. I'm an EFT practitioner, and EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, and it's a wonderful technique that allows the body to rid and release past negativity and trauma, and also to bring in the positive things that you want to add into your life. So my email is sharonannwyckoff@gmail.com, sharonannwyckoff.com. So next week, Wednesday, 11 o'clock Pacific time is when the next program will air, and that will be the 12-step program for teaching peace to children and raising peaceful children. Let me close by inviting you to know that there is only this moment. The past is gone. The future is not here. So I invite you to be present in this moment and do enjoy. See you next week on The Voice of Change. Bye for now.
Newborn child.